For 20 years, Small Business Digest has helped millions of entrepreneurs grow their business. We do this by highlighting ways they can increase profits. Whether these suggestions improve marketing and provide better financial management, offer robust people management ideas, provide speedier logistics, our guests each offer ways of reducing costs, adding sales, widening profits. I'm Don Mazzella. The program is Small Business Digest, and we have a really interesting guest now, John Foley. He has a wonderful book, Fearless Success. I love the title, Beyond High Performance. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Don. Deeply glad to be here, and that saying is going to mean a lot to everybody real quickly.
Okay. John, first, tell us a little bit about your personal background, a little bit about your company, then finally about the book and a website people can buy it on.
Well, absolutely, Don. I was born in Germany. My dad was an Army officer, and I loved him, wanted to grow up just like him. So he was an engineer and an Army officer. I thought that's what I was going to be. Then one day he took me to an air show. I'll never forget this. I was 12 years old. I look up in the sky. I see these six magnificent blue jets flying that day. And I turned to my dad. I said, Dad, I'm going to do that. Well, it turned out to be the Blue Angels. And I was fortunate enough to become the lead solo pilot on the Blue Angels. Had a long career in the Navy. I actually flew in the movie Top Gun. Did some flying off of aircraft carriers. And then, you know, after that, I had to reinvent myself, like a lot of your listeners. I said, you know, there's something else I want to do in this life. I ended up going to Stanford Business School, getting three master's degrees. I was working in venture capital right around 2000, 2001. And y'all remember what happened then, you know, the bubble. And I remember sitting around that day going, you know, how come? But here's my question. Not how come the bubble burst. My question was, how come some people outperform others and some don't? How come some teams outperform and some don't? How come some organizations consistently outperform and some don't? So I started thinking about that. It obsessed me for the last two decades. And what I did was I went back to the old strategic management theory, vision, plan, execute, feedback loop. I said, okay, well, that's good. That's operational excellence. But how do we go beyond that? And that's where I dove into my time as the Blue Angels. I dove into my time now. I've spoken to over 1,000 companies around the world. And we work deeply with organizations, the best of the best, whether it's financial services, whether it's in Silicon Valley or manufacturing. We've done a complete leadership program with Mercedes-Benz and Cisco, and I've worked with sports teams. Alabama, Nick Saban brought me in. We won the championship. I'm working with Penske. We won the Indy 500. So we started on, and that's what the book's about, this idea of how to take your performance to a whole new level, but also live what I call a glad-to-be-here mindset, which is about gratefulness and gratitude. So that's just a very quick summary, but over to you, Don.
Well, do you have a website?
Absolutely. It's johnfoleyinc.com. John Foley, Inc. johnfoleyinc.com.
Okay. Now, you said a lot in there, so we'll go.
Yeah.
We'll back up a little bit. So it's Fearless Success. You know,
yes.
My definition of a small business entrepreneur is someone who jumps off a cliff and hopes somebody builds a swimming pool before he lands or she lands.
I love it.
You have to be fearless. But at some point, yes. Small business people become very fearful.
Yeah.
At least wise, it's been our experience over 25 years. What is your book about, more specific? How does one become fearless?
I love the question. Well, first off, I am a small business owner and have been for the last 16 years. After I got out of venture capital, I tried to create a business called the Centerpoint Entertainment. It was going to be the NASCAR of aviation. That actually blew up. So I've been through businesses that didn't work because I happened to be closing a deal with ESPN on 9/11, that famous day that we all know impacted so many people. And that deal went away. Red Bull's now doing it. But since then, what I did was got down into that, what is that fearlessness? How do you dive in? So I think it starts with, and here's what the book gives you, is a framework and a process, right, and a vehicle to apply it. So I think it starts with beliefs. And that's what I talk about first. If you think about it, we have to figure out what's limiting us and what's liberating us as human beings, and these beliefs. And most entrepreneurs and small business owners, we have this beautiful vision, these high beliefs, and you get beat down. And you come across the challenges and the obstacles in life. So the question is, you know, how do you keep that resiliency and create what I call a high belief level? Give you a very quick example. This is just the first point. And that is, on the Blue Angels, we fly closer together and lower to the ground than any other team in the world. You know, most pilots never fly formation, period. Sometimes you get within about 10 feet, straight and level. On the Blues, we're down at 36 inches to 18 inches, that's low to the ground. And that's a 300% improvement over the best I've ever done. So the question is, how do you transfer that? Because I've been through that. I know what that's like. There's a process and a mindset for that. And then how do you turn that into business results or profits? And that's what the book gives you a framework on.
Okay, that's one example. So keep going. This program is for you to talk, not me.
No, I appreciate it. Well, so I'm just, you know, picturing myself as a listener. How can I apply this? So human beings, we don't perform at our full potential. You don't and I don't. And what we actually perform at is a belief level. So when you're able to raise your belief, your performance will follow. But here's the key. You got to raise a team's belief or an organization's, maybe just quite possibly a child's. So you have to integrate people. We all know that. That's the challenge, right, of high performance. And so it's a one thing to have your belief, but how do you get commitment and buy-in to those beliefs with the people who work for you, with the people who are your customers, right? So it's about this creating this commitment and buy-in. You got to connect first, then you align. So we align all the moving parts, and then you commit through what I call high trust contracts. Give you a quick example of the connection and the alignment. On the Blue Angels, what I teach is this thing, what I call center point. What's that? It's going to be the single point of reference we're going to make decisions off of, right? So in your business, you can say, well, what's the center point? Well, the first thing about asking that question is listen, because I guarantee you go around, the people who are on this radio right now, they go around and ask their people who work with them, what's their center point? You're going to get different answers. It could be, well, it's profits maybe, or you could say it's the customer, or you could say, no, it's revenue, it's growth, it's customer engagement. So here's what we do is you align all those things, usually around the customer, and you get what I call breakthrough performance. That's the alignment piece. Then what we have to do is build a high trust. And that's, to me, I talk a lot about high trust. And if you're ready, I can give you some stories of what it feels like to come at each other at 1,000 miles per hour closure and miss within a wingspan. That's what happened to me when I was doing my opposing knife edge pass. And we did that through high trust contracts, which are verbal and nonverbal agreements. And I find that these are critical to get people to understand, to lean in. And it's quick. These can happen quick. Over to you.
Well, yeah, but John, I guess in with the Blue Angels and any organization, you have to develop that trust where you trust the other person, and that's always difficult because in most organizations we're competing, whether we like it or not. You know, especially in the younger, growing organizations, everybody's jockeying for position. How do you develop?
I love it. So I call it collaborative competition, and that's what I experienced, not just in the Blue Angels, by the way, in every organization I've been in. And it's mostly been in the civilian world, right? And that is, you know, what you have to do is have a mechanism or a framework that allows people to collaborate in a competitive but collaborative way. I'll tell you how we did it. So we had this process that I call the glad to be here debrief, right? And I think people understand the concept of debrief, you know, but here's what I'm finding is the challenge in business. And most people only debrief when there's a problem, when you lose the deal or when there's a problem with the rollout, something like that. And so debriefs can take on a negative connotation in that you're only looking at problems. I flipped that completely around. See, what we did on the Blue Angels, we did what I call a cadence of execution. And we have these briefs and debriefs, and we do them in business. I do it with my company every Monday morning. We have a check-in, and then we have a brief, and we say, what's the priorities? Boom, we do it quickly. I know most business owners do this, of course, right? But then what we do is we have this debrief at the end on a Friday. I just do it Friday, and we reflect back on what are the top three priorities. Did we accomplish them? But here's the key. You got to have five dynamics in this debrief to make it useful and make it just exponential. The first is you got to create a safe environment, and that's with respect. So, Don, as you were mentioning, this idea of fear, right? It's because a lot of times there's not this safe environment. And second is you got to check your ego at the door. I call these the five dynamics, by the way. I'll give you the five dynamics. And the second is check your ego at the door, because we all have egos out there, and that's okay. Confidence is fine, but this is about the we, not the me. So when you build that culture that has that in it, it helps. Then what we do is we say lay it on the table, and you need total open and honesty to get people to lay things on the table. Sometimes you got to take your rank off as the CEO or as the senior manager and say, you know, let's just talk about what's best for the customer here. Let's figure this out. And that's how we do it. The two other steps there. One is you got to have accountability, and I call it the I'll fix it mentality. It's really about personal responsibility, creating that within an organization. And then the last, and here's the secret sauce. It's what's missing in most organizations. That's the glad to be here. And what I mean by that is those first four are critical, but you've got to wrap in gratefulness, appreciation, gratitude. It's about taking a positive approach to these things, not a negative approach. Those are the keys, Don. With that, I guarantee you, any person who's listening, there will take their performance to the next level and their teams.
We're talking with John Foley. His book is Fearless Success Beyond High Performance. Well, you know, John, with all due respect, I've had a lot of people like yourself on this program over the years. Sure. In fact, earlier today, I had somebody, and everybody talks about talk to your employees, make them part of it, etc. I was brought up in a generation where be glad you got a job, boss. I know the idea of fear right now in the marketplace is not in vogue. But when I see these younger kids wanting, I'm here 4 days, when am I going to get promoted type, I sit there and wonder, how can we balance this touchy-feely with what you're saying? And back to you.
Exactly. Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because what I'm talking about is not touchy-feely. All right? This is operational excellence that is wrapped under what I call the glad to be here mindset, which is appreciation and gratitude. And that's really for everything. I think you're exactly right when you said, you know, appreciate to have a job. I mean, that is the first thing is, you know, I've got a job. I appreciate the opportunities in my life. I appreciate the people I work with. I appreciate the customers. And what we do is we actually verbalize that with what I call a glad to be here. So in the end of our debriefs, everybody always checks out with saying glad to be here. And it's not a fluffy saying. It means I'm glad to have the opportunities, even when they're struggles. And here's something you mentioned that I think is critical, is I think there's a difference between being afraid or fear and being scared. And every entrepreneur knows this. Every person running a company knows this. You know, to me, the difference is this. Fear will cause you stuckness. Watch it. Watch it in yourself. Watch it in your teams. Heck, you're right. You can see it in the markets right now. Okay. What's scared? Scared's different. See, scared is little hairs that stand up on the back of your neck. Scared says, you know, maybe we need to make some adjustments. We got to lead through change. Maybe we need to do things differently. Maybe we got to get a cadence of excellence built into our organization that wraps in this positive, glad to be here. These are good things. See, these are your instincts. Entrepreneurs have great instincts, right? You trust those instincts. And I think that that wrapped into what you brought up is when you instill this debrief, you start to address what you just talked about on an open table where you're talking about these things. At the same time, it's about getting the job done. You know, this is about, you've got to set the excellence, and we all have to live up to that excellence. But it starts with you first. That's the key. It starts with looking inward first.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. We went someplace Tuesday, and there was a group of us, a high school reunion luncheon, and the waiter grimaced the whole time through. Sure, he was serving 12 people, but he grimaced the whole way through. If you don't want to be there, according to a survey I just saw yesterday, 60% of people surveyed said they didn't want to be in the job they were in. 60%. I agree with what you're saying. It's just that there seems to be a dichotomy between what we should be doing and what people are perceiving.
Exactly. That's why one of the reasons I wrote the book, and by the way, Don, it took me 10 years and 4 manuscripts to get this right, because I've lived this. I've lived this, what I'm talking about, both when I was flying jets off carriers, you know, in the Blue Angels, but more importantly, with all the companies since then. And you're actually right that it's not normal in workforce right now to have people that are operationally excellent, that have this commitment, this results, but also appreciative for their job. So I think that's the key. I think you hit on it. We have to do that. I'll give you a technique. I'll give you a technique that I do every single morning, and it starts with yourself. I do what I call my glad to be here wake up. And what's that? Every morning when I wake up, the very first thing I do is I just say, what am I grateful for? And today it was, I happened to be in Vegas. I just finished speaking to 800 people. And we had this amazing keynote address. We're going to be working further on with some leadership throughout the company. And I was just grateful to have that opportunity. But I'm also healthy. I'm strong. I feel good today. And I said, man, thank you for that. And here's what's interesting. You then want to do this, is you want to go back in your day. And I go back actually 24 hours. And I go back and I say, what happened yesterday that I have to be grateful for? Because here's what's interesting. The brain doesn't care. The human brain doesn't care if you're actually experiencing something in real time or you're remembering it. So we all get extra brownie points for remembering good things. It also works the other way around. That's how fear can get embedded in an organization, because you're constantly focused on it. So I focused on the goodness, right? And again, yesterday I happened to be in Scottsdale, and I was given another presentation. So I flew out there, and I said, man, you know, everything worked out well. I was grateful for that. And then do this. Then go forward in your day. And as leaders, we absolutely have to do this. You go forward in your day, and you think about others, not just yourself. Like for me today, I thought about you. I said, Don, I said, you know, how can we make this show the best successful show for you? As you know, I called you earlier in the morning and said, hey, Don, what can we do to connect? And that's what I'm doing. I'm thinking of others. But if you do this, interesting enough, if you do this about, you know, we don't really know, but around 40 to 65 times, you will cut grooves in the brain. The neuroplasticity of your brain changes. You start to have more happy thoughts. Trust me. I mean, actually, don't trust me. Just try it and see how it works for you. That, I think, is the key to get yourself in that state. And then when you have this debrief process and briefing process, and you lay it on the table and you have check-in and check-outs with your team, they start to experience you. And as a leader, when they feel you, they can start to implement what you're talking about.
I applaud what you say, and I understand it, but I go back to Alex Baldwin's book, Been Down So Long, It Looks Like Up.
Good title.
But there are people out there that are fighting day after day after day, slogging away at a Blimpies or a Subway or something like that, and they're trying to meet payroll. It's very hard to think positively when you're meeting payroll day after day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I've lived that. I mean, quick story. So in 2001, when I was starting a different company I told you about, Centerpoint Entertainment, and the jets hit the tower, and they went down. I actually, by the way, was there. I actually went towards the towers and as compared to going the other way. But my life changed, right? I that business deal blew up, of course, it affected others in tremendously more impactful ways. Some people lost their lives. Then I lost my relationship. I'm $368,000 in debt. So I know what it's like when you're in that bottom and you're looking up and you're going, man, how do I do this? Whether it's blimpies or something that I just mentioned. I think the key is it's one step at a time, you know, and it's that trust and confidence. It's a self-confidence that comes from knowing who you are, having a clear vision of where you're trying to go. And that to me is the high performance zone. Where am I? Where am I trying to go? And then what I try to do in the book is help you close that gap with the process and framework that I've been explaining to you. So clarity matters, no matter what the job is. If you're just struggling day to day, getting clarity on what your goal is, and then having a real process and a grateful mindset to help you get there.
We're talking with John Foley. His book is Fearless Success. John, where can people get the book and know more about you?
Yeah, well, it's all over. I mean, go to johnfoleyinc.com. We've got more than that book, but we can bundle in some very special things for you. It's, of course, in all the bookstores right now. We're already an Amazon bestseller. It's at the airports. So you'll see it. It's got this beautiful cover. It's a blue and gold. That happens to be my colors when I was on the Blues. Got my gold helmet on the cover and with the gold visor. And you'll see it in a heartbeat. But what it is it's using that metaphor and some of the other things in my life to really work in everyday life. That's the key, right? In everyday business. So, yeah, they can get it on the website or pretty much any bookstore these days.
Well, John, most of us can't have the good fortune to fly jets.
Yes.
But in the few minutes we have left, kind of summarize what you think are the three or four key things from your book that people should take away.
Yeah, absolutely. It's first and foremost the combination of excellence with gratitude and this idea of always striving to get a little bit better. But the real question is, how do the best get better? And it relates. So what I do is I take you behind the scenes into how elite teams and elite organizations do that. And then you can connect the dots to your own individual situation. It's about gratitude or glad to be here, which is not just gratitude. It's about building this safe environment, this ability to get people to connect, to align, to commit to high trust contracts. And what it is, it's a spiraling up process, right? So the book's going to do this, though. You're going to have a lot of cool stories of me flying because I take you on a journey, right? But the journey is wrapped around some real actionable takeaways of how to change whatever situation you're in and how to make it better. If you're really good, it'll take you to a 300% improvement because that's exactly what I had to do. And so I unpack that.
No, that's good. But you brought up another one, which may be a good point. You talk about gratitude. It seems in today's day and age that we seem to have lost that ability to say thank you. What do you say to that?
Yes. Oh, I'll tell you what Einstein said, right? Einstein said, if your only prayer is thank you, that's enough. And so I agree with him that thank you is something I try to say 1,000 times a day. I'm always, you know, even internally to myself, right? Thank you. Like, Don, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this opportunity. I want to thank the listeners. My hope is that something we said has sparked in the heart, not just the head. And that's the key, I think, to what we're talking about is you got to connect the heart and the head. Every leader, every entrepreneur knows this, but yourself first and then your teams. And I think the key is this thank you. I think you hit it, being appreciative of our opportunities.
Well, John, let me hit you with a loaded question then. In this age of the divisiveness, how do you overcome that?
Well, I'll give you a story, and I think it's very apropos to what's going on in the world today. So in 1992, I took the team to Moscow, the team meaning the Blue Angels. This had never before been done, by the way. Remember, in 1989, Berlin Wall had come down. It took me 3 years, me and my team, it wasn't just me, to get it through the Department of Defense, the State Department, the White House, actually. So in 1992, we took the Blue Angels to Moscow. We actually landed there and flew against the Russians. Never before been done and has never been done since. But what I remember, and I have video of this. In fact, tremendous video on the website. Go to the website, you'll see videos of what I'm talking about. But I remember what it felt like to fly those jets into that country then and go from this divisiveness, which are the Cold War, as we called it, to an openness and looking out at things. And here's what happened. When we not only flew against each other, and by the way, I flew the hero of the Soviet Union in my F-18, was the first pilot to fly the head of the McCoy Design Bureau, the MiG-29, flew in the Su-27. I remember really doing that and showing your stuff to the best of the best and vice versa. And of course we competed at first. And you mentioned this earlier in life, right? People compete. But what we ended up with, there's a picture of me and all the Russians and my team with arms around each other. And the ambassador to Moscow told me this, ambassador to Russia. He says, Gucci, what you and your teammates have done in 3 days for international relations is more than I've been able to accomplish in 3 years. And this is how we did it. We went there in strength. We went there with ourselves saying, we're proud to be here. We're glad to be here. And we're very respectful of you. And like in any athlete, we put it on the game, put it on the playing field. And then we drank together. We went out together. We socialized. And what I found was that here's the key, that people are more similar than we are dissimilar. And I think to answer your question, what we have to do, not only as a country, but as an individuals, is look at what we're more similar about. That, to me, then starts. And I did that. I did it in Moscow. It can happen. It can happen quickly.
Well, on that note, John Foley, we have to say goodbye. Your book again and how people can get it?
Fearless Success, Beyond High Performance, John Foley, Inc.com or any Amazon, any bookstore. Thank you, Don. It's been a real pleasure and honor to be with you.
Well, it's been a real pleasure as well. Thank you, John, and good luck in the future.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Today's special commentator is Ann Chow. She's president, national business for AT&T, and we're always glad to have her, and we always look forward to her comments. Ann, take it away.
Thanks so much, Don, and it's great to be with you here again today. My team and I have the responsibility of supporting all of AT&T businesses, small and medium-sized businesses all around the country. So I'm here to talk to you today about some simple tips that can help ramp up your customer service game. As we all know, consumers continue to reward companies that get service right, and it's costing those businesses money that are missing the mark as it relates to their customer experience. So the first thing is I want to share some few easy tips on how to make things easy with tech. And I'm focused on how to make customer interactions easier and faster, call forwarding, electronic signatures, and text reminders. For many small business owners, business never sleeps. And this can be especially true in the fields like contractors, pest control, pool service companies, professional services, where a matter at any time during any day or any night might be urgent. So if you're traveling or helping another customer, consider having your calls answered with an auto attendant or route calls to an employee who's available. That's a little bit extra of a personal access, and that personal touch will go a long way. And if you're not already doing it, text reminders are a direct, simple, and effective way to make sure that your customers remember appointments, gives you another touch point with them. And I know for me as a consumer, I love those reminder text messages. This is incredibly true, especially now, because texting is the most popular activity for smartphone owners, and the average open rate for SMS messages is almost 98%, which we know is far greater than email. So it's an excellent way to reach your customers for everything, including appointment reminders, billing, discounts, rewards, and just an overall great customer experience touch point. And the third thing is with electronic signatures. For vendors, professional service companies, and realtors, using a service that allows for electronic signatures can really help you eliminate a lot of friction from your transactions. Customers can sign from just about anywhere at any time, allowing your business to operate seamlessly. All of these suggestions are really simple, and they are highly effective. And the best part is that any or all of them can be implemented today. So let me move on to a topic that surrounds customer service, and that is digital. Your online footprint is essential. Customers judge your business based on your digital cover and your digital footprint. So customers need to know how to find you. And as a small business owner, you have to make it as easy for them as possible, because we all know that customers have many, many, many choices. In fact, sometimes it's too much choice. 93% of online experience begins with a search engine. So it's vital to your success that this touch point is right. So take some simple steps, like making sure that your address and your customer service number are up to date, as are your hours of operation. You know, I will tell you that I'm still so surprised to find out that about 45% of small businesses today don't have a business website. Think of your website as an interactive business card. It is totally essential. So if you don't already have one, the purchase of a domain name and hiring someone to manage your website is much more affordable than it used to be. Many companies out there, including AT&T, offer services that can build and maintain your business online. So we often have small businesses come to us that are looking for their very first website. Historically, they often use word of mouth, which meant not using digital in terms of reaching their customers. One great example for you is that we did build a website for GreenCut LLC. They're a lawn service company that was looking for a new way to reach their new customers. The first step to customer service is be easy to find. So we were able to help this customer and help them maintain their first website and build it, allowing them to highlight and easily update their products and services, showcase customer testimonials, as well as real-life examples of their work. The last point that I want to make today about customer service is about people. There is nothing more important, and we all know that people buy from people, and people are the heartbeat of any business. So my number one advice to both my team as well as my customers is that staffing is your number one key to success. The people that you surround yourself with are the face and voice of your business. It's important that the people you hire are reflective of your values and will work with you to help you attain your business goals through good customer service. We also like to say that our team members are our best brand ambassadors, and that is so true, particularly for small business. So there's no better time than now to ramp up your customer service with a little help from technology and your employees. Call forwarding, text reminders, electronic signatures, and your digital footprint. And, of course, your people are simple ingredients to happy customers and a successful growing business. Thanks for tuning in. This is Ann Chow, President of National Business with AT&T. If you'd like to connect, you can find me on LinkedIn or follow me on Twitter, at the Ann Chow. And if you'd like some reference links, feel free to follow at ATT Business on Twitter or go to att.com/small business. Thanks so much, Don, for the opportunity, and turning it back to you.
I'm Don Mazzella, and we have an exciting guest here, the CEO of Coble, Fabrice Saporito. Fabrice, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Don. Glad to be with you.
Well, we have a lot of ground to cover, but first, we want to know a little bit about your personal background, then a little bit about your company before we do anything else.
Sure. So you might have guessed it. My name, Fabrice Saporito, brings my roots to partly Italy and partly France, where I was born. I'm a graduate from business school both in France and here in the U.S., and have worked pretty much my entire career in the supply chain field for management consulting firms such as Booz Allen and the Boston Consulting Group. Worked also for IBM in the technology field, and ended up moving into the startup phase and the small business world, if you will. With first a company that I helped launch during the turnaround of the Lego company that I architected back in the early 2000s. and then eventually decided to launch my own company called COBOL. And COBOL was launched in 2015 with the mission to make it easier for larger and small businesses to find each other, communicate with each other, and do business.
Well, that's a start. And your website, and can you spell out the company and its website for our people, for our audience?
Sure. So the company is COBOL, and the website is COBOL.com. So COBLE.com.
Question, how did you come up with that name?
So the name comes from a Nordic word, actually a Scandinavian word, which would be pronounced more like cobbler, and that means connecting in Norwegian. And it's a name that actually a very small business in Estonia came up with for us and helped us to adopt.
Okay, but now what makes your company and your offering different, and why should small business people want to work with you?
It's a great question, Don. Thanks for asking it. Small businesses are generally not as well treated in the digital world compared to larger ones that tend to have massive resources and the capacity to be found online. Very simple searches on Google will show that on page one and page two, which are really where buyers will spend their time on, you'll rarely find a small business there. There are about, 24 positions. And, you won't find the thousands of amazing small businesses that exist out there. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to make it really easy for small businesses to adopt a digital presence and get them found easily online. So COBOL provides them with a page, a free to use page, which really requires very little capabilities to adopt. We have enriched the page already for them. And from that page, they can, essentially add conversational capabilities, which is our chat product that allows them to capture traffic that arrives on their page. And we find this extremely important, specifically when you know, Don, that 46% of small businesses in the U.S. Don't even have a website. So essentially, we want to make them competitive. We want to help them to find those clients that are sometimes very hard to get.
Well, okay, now I'm going to back up and explain that. I'm a small business. I come to you, and what do you do? Let's say I'm a manufacturer of buttons. I come to you, campaign buttons and things like that. I come to you. What do you do for me?
So what we've done even before you come to me, Don, is that we have enriched and created company pages for about 11 million companies in the U.S., right? So we have prepared a presence for you, which is bigger than a listing such as a Yellow Page listing, but not as big as a website. But we have already prepared that on our app. So as of today, right, businesses in the U.S., small businesses in the U.S., can go to our app and most likely find their company there. Now, what they do next is that they create an account, which is free. So they go to the COBOL.com website or download the app, click on creating an account, and then essentially by creating an account, they have the possibility to claim their page. And essentially what we will do for them after they have claimed their page, we will optimize that page for it to get traffic, to get visitors, so that they get found and they get business. So this is really what we do for them. And we want that to be as easy as possible. And that's what COBOL offers them.
Well, so if I can see if I understand it, it sounds, I come to your site, I find a page or on your site that has buttons, I take it, I sign up and say that this is now the ABC company, and then you go and you optimize that page so that when someone searches for buttons, they will find that page on the top page. Am I hearing you correctly?
You got me right. That's exactly how it's going to work. And we make sure that you're there and that you compete similarly than any of the other businesses, so that you appear there, you appear high. And of course, there's a few things you can do to get better, right? But ultimately, there's not going to be 100 of IBM links or 100 of whatever links that of large companies that will then take your link down on the list, right? So this is really what we're doing for you.
Well, then my question is, how do you make your money?
That's great, great question. I think like any small business, we're here to make money. And while we are creating those pages for free and you can claim them for free, what you pay for is the capacity to capture the traffic and turn it into business. And in practice, it means that you will pay for our chat product that allows you to start a conversation with people that have visited your page. You'll have to pay for this, right, Don? But of course, now you are with a user, with someone that has shown interest in your product, and it's for you to transform them into business. But you pay for that lead generation component, which for us is encapsulated into a chat product that allows you to capture that traffic and have a conversation.
So I, as the small business, would pay, in effect, is paying for the lead that you've generated for it, but I'm only paying when you generate the lead. Am I hearing you correctly?
You got me correctly. I mean, I should hire you for my marketing, but this is exactly how it works. Yes, you are paying for the lead. So if nobody visits your page and or people visit your page, but you realize it's a company you don't want to do business with, you don't need to start a chat with that perfect person in that company. So you don't have to pay. But the way we've structured it is that, yes, you pay per chat, you pay per lead. So that's how it's structured. Correct.
That's fascinating. We're talking with Fabrice Saporito. He's CEO of Kobo. Fabrizio, spell it out for our audience.
So Kobo.com, KOBLE.com.
I want to make sure our audience knows who we're talking to and how they can reach you. So let's back up. Again, I'm the button company. How do I pay? How much do I pay for a lead? Do I pay each time I chat with the lead, or once I get the lead? What is your pay schedule like?
So we have two models, pricing models. One is what we call the pay-per-use chat model, right? So it's almost like a prepaid type model. You buy a certain number of chats, and you know, as you consume them, when you're done, you can essentially buy more. Or we actually have a monthly subscription model, which today most people prefer to take. Now, to give you an idea, the subscription model starts at $30 per month, which allows you to get up to 200 chats or 200 leads if you want per month, right? And that makes the cost of the lead at $0.15, so 15 cents per lead that you would capture on our page. And of course, there are bigger subscriptions, so you can move from $30 to $60 to $90 depending on how much traffic you get on your page. And, you know, as good economists, we make it more exciting for you and cheaper for you to buy, you know, a bigger subscription. So the price per chat or per lead moves from 15 cents all the way down to 9 cents, which is, we believe, a very attractive price, particularly for small businesses that, you know, are very want to use their dollars extremely effectively.
Well, agreed. But let's back up a little bit. I'm a small business, and again, I'm using the button example. But do you help many of the small business figure out how to pitch my products, how to go about pricing, et cetera? Or are you just the middleman, or do you help them in other ways?
So what we've done through the page structure is that we've made it easy for people to provide the information that will be required for the qualification that buyers will make. And that set of information is the result of my decades of experience doing and helping companies to do sourcing, right? And to source and find new suppliers. So we've made it so that the information there is the minimum that you need to provide so that, you know, you actually have a good profile. And then, of course, because we are a software company, ultimately, we have built in a level of intelligence that will prompt you to do certain things when it is needed. So, for instance, we might say, you know, hey, Don, for your button companies, there seems to be quite a bit of competition out there. So if you want to attract more people, why don't you ask a couple of your customers to write a few reviews for you? And if you do so, we're going to be able to rank you even higher, right? Or we'll tell you, Don, if you have a certificate, why don't you add it to your profile, because it's going to essentially show who you are. Or, hey, Don, do you have any new buttons that you have released lately? So if you have some of those new buttons, why don't you write a little post about it and add it on your own company profile? So these are the things that we will do to keep you on your toes and continue to be relevant in the marketplace and compete with other buttons providers.
Well, that's what I was getting at. You've really thought it out. How did you come up with this idea, Fabrizio?
So, you see, Don, I have been working in the strategic sourcing space or B2B space for, you know, my entire career, and I'm not going to reveal my age, so that I still have a chance out there. But, one thing that was always clear to me is that there was a lot of development and a lot of technology was invested in the downstream part of the value chain. So back then when I started to work my career at IBM, I worked with the team that turned around IBM, and what was extremely successful and what companies really were looking for at the time were, you know, procurement type technology that allows you to place orders. And that went well. And then from there was sourcing tool that allowed to get auctions and quotes out there. But nobody really spent time besides Google, right, who dominates the space, but nobody spent time to find a way to really structure a database that would make it easy for small businesses to pop out. And having been working for a startup myself and being in startup myself, I wanted to find a way to make it easier for small businesses that, you know, ultimately is the core of our economy for them to come out, right? And it's a result, it's a continuum. It didn't come, in a great vacation somewhere on holiday, but it really came out by observing this over a couple of decades, where I realized that this is something that could make a change and help businesses in the U.S. and elsewhere.
Well, it's fascinating. Where's your company located?
So Cobalt is headquartered in Boston. So we're a Massachusetts-based company, and we also have operations in Finland. So that's our Scandinavian roots, if you will, and then have an office in Asia to address that part of the world.
Well, how did you develop all of these websites? Did you replicate them? How do you go about doing that? It seems as if you've invested time and money to do it right, but I'm just curious how you came up and made so many websites.
So, what's been fascinating over the past decade and perhaps over the past 5 years or so is the speed at which we've been able to make machines understand unstructured data. And I think, you know, you and I know that since the internet, a lot of data and social media, you know, have helped creating a lot of data out there. The question is, how do you make sense of it? And what we wanted to do with our software development team and technology team was to figure out a way to make sense of that data, structure the data. So ultimately, the value add that we provide, besides being a facilitator, is to leverage machine learning technology or artificial intelligence, if you will, to capture the data that we find on the web, structure it in a way that it provides a sensible profile that is enough for Google to index the COBOL website and all the different pages out there. And that's really what we're doing ultimately. And as we provide and bring traffic to those pages for those companies, those small businesses, you know, then it's really pretty much up to them and to get with each other and really, follow some of the advice that we provide and really capture that business. Yeah. So technology again is at the core here for us.
We're talking with Fabrice Saporito. He's CEO of COBOL, KOBLE.com. But now I'm going to ask you a question. Suppose I'm a button manufacturer, and another button manufacturer comes along and says, I want to do the same thing. How do you differentiate the two?
That's a great question, Don. So obviously, you know, button manufacturing, to take your example, is a competitive business, right? So you will be in a pool of button manufacturers and you have to make sure that you come out. There's a couple of things that we do, of course, you know, each with their own profile, the way they write their profile, the reviews that they have, the number of reviews that they have, the score that they get, the richness of the information that they provide, all of those are data points that will guide the buyer to make some sort of decision as he or she compares different profiles. And it's very much, you know, something that you'll have to yourself provide to come out. We will guide you through the process with our technology and, you know, by prompting you to do certain things to come out stronger than some of the others. Obviously, we will also have a number of products that, you know, you could buy to pop out even further, you know, whether it's targeting technology, whether it's, ranking, paid ranking or sponsored ranking that will allow you to show multiple times and higher so that you get, you know, a better visibility out there. So it's a series of things. Part of it is, you know, the products that we offer that you could buy, and then part of it is how you decide to use our own technology to make the best out of it from the advice that we will give you.
Well, you know, we look a lot of small business data, and you're right about how a lot of small businesses don't have their own website. But part of the problem is they don't know how to use websites as effective sales tools, and they usually depend on a younger person. Like our local bakery shop uses one of their college servers to man their website and their Facebook, et cetera. I guess it's important if it's a small business to have somebody that's on top of it every day or every other day. Am I right?
So what I would say is that there is, of course, a need for you to pay attention to what happens on your page and make sure that you are there to respond. But what we've done, and this is where I think the technology is quite important, and this is also why we ended up being, in a way, mobile first, is that when you have your COBOL app downloaded, you have created your profile, and you've decided to use our chat product and pay either per use or have a subscription on it, you will be pinged. So the system will let you know when something happens on your site so that, you know, you don't have to, let's say, continuously come to your page and figure out what's happening, but instead we will prompt you to come and be present when it's needed on real time. Now, the other thing that you might say is that, look, but I might be busy in my bakery and you know, I can't really be on my phone all the time. And this is also where things are, the way we design the product is to answer to those kinds of questions, because if someone visits my page, let's say today, but I'm busy doing something else, tomorrow when I go back to my phone, I can go to the chat menu, right? There's a small chat button. You click on that button. I can see everyone that has visited my site, and I can just open the ones that make sense for me and then just send a message to those and say, hey, you know, how can I be of help? Hey, I see that you have read the post about, you know, our new cakes, if it's the bakery. Do you want me to send you some samples? So you have the possibility to do that on your own time, and you choose when and how you want to capture this. So I think important here is the limited amount of maintenance that is required. So you really decide and you choose how you want to engage with other potential clients or prospects through our app on your own terms.
That's really terrific. But do you also have the ability to add Facebook and Twitter and all the other things to your websites?
Correct. So on our page, you have the possibility to add, of course, a link to your own website if you have a website. And you can also add all the different links to other social media platforms that you might want to point out to. So we made it open so that you can do that and reuse everything that you have out there to show the best of yourself on our platform.
Well, you know, Fabrizio Saporito, he's CEO of Koble, KOBLE.com. Fabrizio, we have just a few minutes left. What would you like to say to our audience?
So first, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to talk to your audience and essentially give them a new perspective, I hope, on how we are approaching the problem that small businesses face and the challenge that they face and they tell us all the time, which is finding new customers. And what I want to tell them, what I want them to leave them with is a very simple perspective, and that is being ready for the digital world that we're living in right now is not anymore an option. I mean, it is a necessity for our small businesses out there and for all of us out there to succeed. And we understand the pace of change, and we realize how quickly things are changing and how difficult it might be for small businesses out there to keep up with all of that. So we wanted to give them an opportunity to very simply capture what's happening on the web by essentially piggybacking on what we've built together, and that with its size makes it easier for them to be found. And we're here to help them. We want them to grab that opportunity, and actually, as of today, just go out there, pick up your phone, download the app, whether on your Google Play Store or on your iOS App Store, and you know, search for Koble Inc. Koble, KOBLE. Download the app, create an account for free, and you know, start capturing the opportunities that are out there. And you'll see somehow how technology can make things easier as opposed to sometimes far too complicated, which we've been used to. So the opportunities are there, and we're ready to help small businesses to capture them.
Well, thank you so much. We've been talking with friend Fabrizio Saporito. He's CEO of Koble. A link to his website will be on our website tonight. Fabrizio, thank you so much for being with us. It's been very illuminating.
Don, thank you very much for your time.
Have a great day.
You too.
You have been listening to Small Business Digest. Our website is the number 2 SB Digest. Go there to hear this and all past and future shows. And tell us of a guest you would like to hear on this program. Remember, this show is about helping our audience improve profit. I'm Don Mazzella, and thank you.